Good grief. Question everything.
Welcome. You're listening to Why, a Good Grief Network podcast with Amy Lewis Rowe and Laura Schmidt. This is our first attempt at a Good Grief podcast.
So we're running a Good Grief podcast, and we figure this will be a good time for us to answer a few questions and update you folks with our progress. So you can look forward to one of these once a week, and we hope to keep the tone a bit conversational. So first, Aim, let's talk about what's new.
What's new? As many of you know, hopefully most of you know, we just moved to Nebraska, the western side. Which is better weather than the eastern
side. They call it
the
panhandle. We live in the panhandle.
We're in the panhandle of Nebraska. And we did this. We packed up our family, which is four pets.
Minus one.
Minus one. We did just have to put one down. May he rest in peace. Oliver.
Sir Oliver.
Sir Oliver. And so, yeah, we packed up our family. We quit our job. Brought a U-Haul out to Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And we're doing this so that we can work on Good Grief. And I'm going to be honest, it's terrifying. I don't know how you feel about it, Laura.
Yeah, well, it's isolating. It's a small community, especially compared to Salt Lake. But it gives us a lot of time to create things like this and help get people on board. Amy's been writing every day. I write most days. I'm still working for Heal Utah just a little bit. So
I just got a job as a yoga teacher here in town. And I'm excited about that. I think it's going to complement what we do with Good Grief really well to remind me to focus on the body and that we can't heal everything just with our heads. You know, you gotta memory is stored in the body. You got to pay attention to your body. And I feel like our culture just doesn't emphasize that enough, myself included. And so I'm excited to be able to lead people through exercises that help them connect their mind and body. And in doing so, I think it'll do a good job of helping me do the same.
Well, and additionally, we want to incorporate yoga and into workshops that we'll be leading. As Amy said, memory and trauma are stored in our bodies. And so we can do all the talking we want. We can do all of the community building we want. But at the end of the day, we have to help people move through some of the memories and trauma. And just moving your body, it feels so good. You kind of forget when you sit at a desk every day. But yeah, so we're excited about that. We've also been spending almost every day at the dog park. They have a little one here, and it is adjacent to Scottsbluff National Monument, which we actually haven't been to yet. But you get to oversee the bluffs. It's right next to the North Platte River. It's beautiful. Gus likes to drop his ball in there and fish for it every day. It's been kind of cold, a little bit rainy, I'd say. You've been here 3 weeks, I've been here two.
Yep.
I'd say about half the time it seems like it's a little rainy, maybe a quarter. I might be exaggerating. But yeah, so we try to spend some time outdoors. We play with our pets a lot.
So the answer to what's new is everything with us right now. Everything feels new. We're working on developing routines and trying to find ways to be both productive and allow space for creative thinking, which also kind of means, you know, wandering and hanging out at the river. And so finding a balance between discipline and sort of free-spirited wandering.
What we're working on. So I mentioned a little bit earlier that Amy's been writing every day, and she can explore the topics that she's been digging into. But I've been thinking a lot about truth and how we figure out what truth is when there are active campaigns to confuse people and to mislead them. And as some of you might know, I grew up in a very confusing household. My mom seems to be a pathological liar. And so I spent a lot of time for myself trying to define what is reality from what is not reality. And I think that where we're at as a culture is very similar, especially with regard to climate change, but just how we're functioning as a culture in general. I feel like a lot of our systemic problems are because we're being led astray and we can't really check in with what truth is. And so I've been thinking a lot about this. I want to journal more on it. And I think that it'll be a good segue into the manual that we're creating. So we're going to be transitioning our manual from a standalone to a book. That's one of our main goals while we're here in Scotts Bluff. And so right now I think that Amy's and my approach is to really just dig deep and get in the habit of writing and exploring new ideas and just creating space for that. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's what I'm working on. And what about you, Aim?
I've been working on the steps, which maybe sounds like it should be implied, but we have gone back and forth about whether we wanted 9 steps or 10 steps. We were thinking 9 would be nice because then it's groups of 3. You can do, because a lot of the steps kind of relate to each other. But what I've decided in the last week through a lot of free writing and exploring what each step means to me is that actually we want to have 10 because the steps are meant to be partners. There's 5 different types of steps going on, and it's completely changing how we have viewed the steps, and I'm excited for the new insight that it's bringing. I'm excited to share it. Now is not the time to share it. We're working on putting that into our book. But I'm feeling really excited and fresh. My ideas feel fresh, which is a great feeling given, you know, you get stuck in routines. And so, you know, back in Salt Lake, we had our routines and we had these good ideas we wanted to work on, but we just didn't have time to kind of take it to the next level. And I feel like through free writing every day, as well as some concentrated writing focused on each individual step, I am getting fresh ideas that make me feel confident in this book we're working on, and like I'm ready to hit the ground running.
Speaking of that, we have created just recently a Patreon account. And so if you believe in the work that we're doing and you want to contribute, you have the capability to donate monthly. And we have categories ranging from $5 a month up to $100. You can just give a monthly donation, and then in reward, we will do a variety of different things. You can check out our Patreon site. It is Good Grief Network, so you should be able to search it. We'll also add it in the comments. And we'd like to take a minute and also just thank the Patreons we have already. Serena, Laura, the Story family, Kindy, and then I'd also like to take a second and thank the Meyer family, who is housing us right now in Scotts Bluff.
We're sitting
in their living room right now. I would like to thank our friends and family who helped us move and supported us and do things that we can't do alone, because there's a lot of it that we can't do alone.
Yeah, our friend Hillary and Hannah both sent us mail to this new address. We hadn't even gotten any mail yet, and I didn't even know Hillary had our address. I don't know if she asked you, but regardless, it was really beautiful. So yeah, there's a lot to be thankful for, a lot of people who have helped us get here, and we're gonna need help, which is hard to ask for, but we still have bills that we're working on, and we don't want to get full-time jobs while we're here because we want Good Grief to be our main focus. And so we're trying to get by on working part-time. It's a little tricky, and that's where the Patreon helps tremendously. And again, big shout-out and thank you to our patrons who have already signed up. And there are 4 signed up, but there's still 6 more slots because for those of you who haven't heard, our first 10 patrons will get personalized thank yous in our book.
And you're going to want that because we're cool and this book is going to go far and you want to be acknowledged for helping us get through this tough time where we don't have too much money. So yeah, and also there are other ways to support us as well. If you don't have the financial means to support us, there are other ways, but it is our big ask right now considering, as Amy mentioned, we don't have full-time jobs and Amy doesn't start a job till the beginning of May.
So Laura, what kind of outside influences are you thinking about right now?
Yeah, well, I am taking a few online courses. So I'm taking one from the Pachamama Alliance. It's called the Game Changer Intensive. I am also spending a lot of time taking a class with Richard Heinberg online. It's called Think Resilience, and it's hosted by the Post Carbon Institute. And additionally, I was invited on a phone call with Caroline Baker and Dean Walker the other day. And they brought up one thing that really stuck with me, and it was it's an article, you can Google it. It's called Climbing the Ladder of Awareness, and it goes through 5 different rungs of where you might be when you've woken up to what problems exist. And so what we're trying to get to is the step 5, which is the awareness that the predicament encompasses all aspects of life. It's not just the interconnection between human problems that's existing, but it's the way that we're interacting with the world around us, meaning the physical landscape as well. It's kind of an interesting article to explore. I've been thinking about it a lot. Again, it's called Climbing the Ladder of Awareness. We'll include it in our show notes, but I definitely want folks to take a look and kind of explore where you're at with your ladder of awareness. And that's where I'm at, I think, with my outside influences. What about you, Aim?
Well, I'm really excited about Janelle Monáe's new album, I'll tell you that. Music is a huge influence for me, and I had already been a Janelle Monáe fan. Her track with Erykah Badu, Queen, is a go-to track for me as a DJ. It's one of my favorites. I love playing it at nearly every gig. But I was just unexpected for the level of awesomeness that this new album is. And I haven't purchased the full album yet because we just moved and, you know, all of that's expensive. But the few tracks, the singles that she's released are killing it. The videos rock. It's exciting to see musicians who are about free thinking and empowerment coming out into pop culture and getting the attention that they deserve and sending messages we all need. I've been taking a DJ class, which is really exciting because I'm learning how to use sound samples, which I will be applying to this podcast. So it might seem unrelated, but for me, I do best... my best creative work when I'm being creative in multiple ways. And if I'm just writing, I find that I get stuck and bored, where for me, part of my creative process is wandering at the river with our dogs and listening to good music and the conversations and ideas we have. And I'm trying to think about books. Oh, I'm returning to a book I read in undergrad called Escape from Evil by Ernest Becker, because part of why we went from 9 steps to 10 steps is that we realized we hadn't taken into consideration death anxiety and how much death anxiety affects our choices and the way our brain works. And so those of you who are unfamiliar with Ernest Becker's work, I highly recommend it.
Flight from Death is a good... exposure. Oh, yeah. To Ernest
Becker. Flight from Death is a documentary, and I believe it's on Amazon Prime for streaming.
Yeah, I think so.
We can do a link to that as well, because that is a good way to get kind of a overview of Becker's work without having to do the work of diving in and reading, which I don't know about you guys, but sometimes that's hard for me, is to jump right into a theory-heavy book.
Speaking of theory-heavy books, I've been digging into Beyond Biocentrism, and Amy's picked it up as well. It is a follow-up to a book released a few years ago just called Biocentrism. It's by Robert Lanza and Bob Berman, and it's a really dense book. The subtitle, for example, is Rethinking Time, Space, Consciousness, and the Illusion of Death. And so I am not even 50 pages in, and it has taken me a tremendous amount of time to dig through, but the ideas are novel. And at the most fundamental level, it is saying that some sort of consciousness or life created the universe and not the other way around. And so it's a paradigm switch in general, just saying that we exist because there's this inherent force of life that wants to exist, and not that everything's completely random and somehow life evolved out of nothing. And it's also having us reconstruct what it means to measure time. I joke with Amy a lot that time is an illusion, and then this book actually breaks down why time is an illusion. It's really dense, as I mentioned, and just trying to get through it and open my mind to new ways of thinking. Looks like Amy's gonna read something.
Yeah, and so I don't often read theory books unless I'm on a mission. Theory books are pretty hard for me to read. I have to sit down with my caffeine and really focus. I have intense ADHD, which may be obvious already. I just was kind of the one night looking through this book because Laura had left it out. And in the introduction, it says, "Science tells us with some precision that over 95% of the universe is composed of dark matter and dark energy, but it must confess that it doesn't really know what dark matter is, and it knows even less about dark energy." I read that and it stopped me in my tracks. One, I would love to hear any sort of arguments from science people who know about this if that's incorrect. That being said, Robert Lanza is an MD. I assume he knows a bit of what he's talking about. I'd love to hear counter arguments. And at the same time, if even a portion of that is true, like, think about the implications of that. 90 over 95% of the universe is dark matter and dark energy, and we don't even know what those things are.
And yet we exist in a culture and a paradigm that tells us everything is controllable, everything is known, you know, there's no more mystery. And so I think that this, and maybe I don't want to speak for you, but maybe this certain line or this book brings up ideas that we don't know what's happening. We don't actually have an accurate understanding of how we exist and where we exist and the things that interact with us, right? Like, what is this dark energy? What is this dark matter? How does it influence us? How does it influence planets? How does it influence life in general?
Yeah, and if there's that much about the universe and existence that we don't know, how can things like science or religion claim to have the answers? Because the truth is no one has the answers. It is just too big for us to comprehend. And what I love is I feel like we continue to evolve as a species the more we learn about the different ways our brains work, knowledge works, consciousness exists, and that's where this book Beyond Biocentrism is really exciting me, is it seems like we're finally ready to think about things more holistically and try to stop with that sort of black and white thinking of I have the answer, you don't, or vice versa. What if there's not one answer, you know, and maybe that sounds too far out for some people, but I also think that we're uncomfortable with anything that doesn't fit into boxes, and what does fit into boxes? It tends to be pieces of something rather than the whole.
Yeah, and limiting. Ultimately limiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I also want to take a second to thank Morgan Caraway. Morgan sent me a book in the mail yesterday called Ecological Awakening. I am excited to dig into this one. So if you're listening, Morgan, thank you. And give me a few weeks to finish it off. It is should be a short read. It's about 100 pages or so. But anytime you are digging into something called ecological awakening, I think that I'll give myself sufficient time to dig into it and read it and reflect. So thanks, Morgan.
What else is on your mind before we close things?
So this is our first podcast. We are trying to do a bit of work with it. We're going to put this one out before it's entirely ready. But I think this is a new mode of us communicating with you. And Amy mentioned earlier that she's really interested in hearing from you. So if you have any questions, if we've, you know, maybe piqued your interest with something we've said, go ahead and send us some questions at goodgriever@gmail.com. And we're happy to dig through your questions and try to come up with answers and just spark some discussions. And we really like ideas, big ideas. We really like conversations. We really like inspiration. So if you're looking into that, if you want to share any of that with us, if you have any questions for us, feel free to reach out. Again, it's goodgriever@gmail.com. What about you, Aim? What else is on your mind?
Well, in regards to that, I would love to get questions from people. I also don't want to give any sort of false hope that we have all the answers. We created Good Grief, the Good Grief Network, specifically because we don't have all the answers, and we believe that community is where truth and power really can exist and coexist. Right now, I feel like we have a lot of systems that truth and power can't necessarily coexist in the same space, and it's like a battle between the two. But I believe truth and power coexist naturally, and it's about reclaiming that. And I think through a community that's talking about these difficult things and asking questions that don't necessarily have answers, I think that's where we're going to get to truth and power.
Does this community have to be in person, or can it exist digitally as well?
That's the point of this podcast. That's the point of us moving to the point of us moving to Nebraska was not to get more in person community. I mean, we were in Salt Lake City. We have a great community there. We're isolating ourselves currently to focus on these ideas and to get writing, start producing online content, because we've already had some interactions with people all over the country, definitely, and even some from all over the world. And so we know that we're not the only ones thinking about these things. We're not the only ones feeling the grief of what's going on in our planet. And we want to join people together and share resources.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I think that's all I have on my end. I'm ready to sign off. And look forward to our next one. Hopefully we'll produce another one next week.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Why, a Good Grief Network podcast with your hosts, Amy Lewis Rowe and Laura Schmidt. If you like what you hear, consider subscribing, commenting, leaving feedback, or just checking out our Patreon page. We'll come back at you next week with some more information and some more big questions. Thank you for listening.